So for the anniversary show, I have decided to tap into something that I don't think a lot of people tap into, and it's this. So, yes, my voice has different levels, okay? I am fully aware, you know, 46 and 2, you're 23, you're 23 and 23, your chromosomes from mom and dad. Now, those who don't know me know, okay, and I've always been aware of this since the beginning of my existence. I have my mother's voice and then I have my father's voice. Those intertwined, very interesting, okay? Yes, some people can pick up on I'm gay just by how I talk. But then at the same time, that itself is, well, it's, I can't help it. Because as I said, I have both of them in me. Now, my face, you know, we choose our face. That's you know, when it comes into existence. I know you guys are like, what are you fucking talking about? Just hear me out. Shut the fuck up. Now, my face I get from my father. I have my father's face. I have my father's eyes. I probably have my mother's smile, but a combo of my father as well. So I'm a combo, but I mostly primarily have my father's face. When I look in the mirror, I see me, but I also think, okay, I got dad's face. My dad is a very masculine face, okay? As did the people in his family. Now, that's what I wanted to talk about was, you know, yes, we all have what we have. You know, some of us have our female side, our anima side. Some of us have our masculine side, you know, and then we have both, you know. And I mean, I was thinking about this. I was thinking about, you know, like when I was in high school, I had a crush. I had a crush on one of my best friends. I told her that, and we're friends to this day. And I realized why. It was because she was a tomboy, and she had a very masculine presence. I mean, she would, you know, if guys tried to play her, ooh, she was tough. She's still tough. And, you know, there's that. So, yeah, you know, we wear what we wear in terms of our armor, you know, whether it's our face, whether it's our expressions, whether it's our voice or body language, okay? And when I'm really happy, yeah, you know, maybe it comes off as a little gay, or maybe because gay is happy. Hello. You know, to quote a gentleman who said to me, and when you arrive, you're happy, so you'd be arriving gay. And words right there, words like that, very powerful. Just by saying that, that's thuhu, that's shamanistic right there. I know all too well. And so, yes, words have power, okay, as I say that. Yes, I am gay. At the same time, I'm very aware of my masculine side. I've always been aware of my masculine side because it is a part of me. And I wouldn't just so much say it's a side, because I've said this before. I was raised in a house of all men. My mother was the lone female. So there was a lot of testosterone in this house. There's three boys. I'm the eldest, okay? There's three of us. We would fight. We would physically fight. And then my father, who is the head of the pack, you know, and his voice and his body and his mannerisms and his, and the way he conducted business, okay? And so that's why I am the way that I am, is the environment that I grew up in, okay? My father could also be very tender. You know, my father would talk to us in a very, you know, tender voice. But at the same time, he would always say to us, survival of the fittest. An example of that, and I've said this before on this show, is when I learned how to swim. We moved out to the country, and my father wanted me to learn how to swim. So he told the trainer to throw me in the pool, and later said to me, when I was older, I told him to do that so you would learn how to survive in the water. Because my father, first and foremost, is a survivalist. Survival of the fittest, right there, from Darwin. My father is a Darwinist. So he, you know, instilled that in us. My father is also a mad scientist and taught our dogs to attack the wheel, to attack the gate wheel. Pavlov's dog, Pavlov's theory. Like, oh my God, Dr. Z, she never talked about this before. I've talked about it extensively on here, off and on. But yeah, my father is a scientist. You know, that's where I get it from. That's where I get my knowledge from, my love of knowledge, my love of rocks, my love of, geology. I could have been a geologist. That, you know, he wanted me to be a doctor of something, but then that's not what I wanted. You know, our parents want what they want for us, because, you know, either My father didn't get to be a doctor because of the war. And I could see that in him. He wanted us to, you know, be a doctor or be this. And I understand his rationale for that. So I wanted to talk about that on this anniversary show because, you know, life itself is an anniversary. Yes, we have birthdays. Yes, we celebrate. Yes, all of these things that are a part of us that we learn daily and put into, you know, the surface of what we are. And it can be kind of ritualistic at times. So here I am talking to you on a podcast about all of these things that I am made of, you know, my mother and my father. And at the same time, it makes me, and I am me. That's the beauty of this, is that, yes, we all have parts from our parents, you know, but we are who we are. And thus, we exist alone. Because we are built like a house from those different parts, from the different DNA, from all of this existential reckoning. Maynard, I love you. And that makes us... Oh, I forgot I had a feather in my pocket. Oh, that's beautiful. That makes us who we are, okay? So, yes, when I look in the mirror, I see this very masculine face that my father gave me with the smile that my mother gave me and her mother gave me. You know, so there's that, there's the genes, there's the DNA, and the DNA doesn't lie, you know, and that used to bother my grandmother. Yeah, I'm Portuguese, I'm also Mexican, I'm also all these other things, and when I look in the mirror, even to this day as an adult, when I was a little boy, I did not see a Portuguese man, I saw a Hispanic man. That's how I've always seen myself. When I look in the mirror, is the tone of my skin and my facial structure and my bones and my lips and my eyes. You know, I get my eyes from my father. He got them from his mother and she got them from her father. So it's all these things that are passed down. You know what I mean? You know, like we pass down clothes or we pass down cars. This is genes. It's in the genes. I mean, you know, I had a cigar earlier and maybe I'm off of a buzz of that. But this whole day has been a buzz. And going to the ocean yesterday, I'm now realizing it's midnight and it's not today, it's yesterday. So yesterday, when all my troubles seem so far away, we gotta throw that in there for good measure. But here's this anniversary show. Why did I start this fucking thing? I started this thing because I was told by the bosses to go see a therapist. Because I really didn't want to teach anymore. Because people were like coming at me like, oh, you can't be nurturing. You're a man. And being very mean to me. And I'm like, I don't want to fucking do this anymore. And then I was the only male working with all these females. And they would squabble at each other. And I'm in the middle of it. And then also I would get lent out. I'd be, you know, from place to place. Hey, can you go to this site? Yes. Why? So I go from place to place. And that's what I would do. Because, you know, I wanted to be the good guy. I wanted to be the good guy. You know, I wanted to be the team player. And then I couldn't be the team player because my own site, my own team needs me and I can't be there for them. And, you know, you have to make a decision. You have to decide all of these things. So, yes, it was that. It was that. That's what brought me to this whole thing in 2018. So I'm going to put a little pin in this and we will come back to the anniversary show of 2018. Oh, jeez. And why maybe, you know, I should just turn this into a big fucking science podcast. Stay tuned.
All right. So the second half, I figured, you know, we got to play some Tool in the background because, well, they are my band. I love how when people wear the shirt, oh, I'm not really a fan. And I'm wearing the jacket and I'm like, I'm a fucking fan. I even have the coin that I got at the Phoenix show because I have enough of their shirts. And I had seen those coins online. I don't think Aftershock had a coin. I'm not sure. Because when I was at Aftershock, what was I thinking? Well, it was 4 days. So what I was thinking was, okay, how are we going to get here? The first time, the second time? Because the first time it was a bit of a commute, 50-mile commute back and forth. So, you know, and that's usually what's going through my head. But anyway, here we are. It's the anniversary show. And, you know, I figured, what was I talking about last night? I was talking about DNA, and I was talking about genes, and you know how I'm fully aware of when I was younger, I tried to fight it that I looked like my father because I wanted to look like me. You know, that's as beings, that's what we want. We want to look like ourselves. You know, when I look at a picture of me now, there's a picture of me and two friends in San Francisco, and I see my father, but I also see my Uncle Ruben. But then I also see my mother's side of the family. So it's like, you know, you have to pull your head out of that. Like, okay, I look like me. Even though I have all these different DNA bloodlines running through me. And I'm fully aware of that, you know. Here we are in a 7-year show. And I mean, when I first started doing this, I mean, it was an interesting time. I was 37 years old and now I'm 43. And spiritually, I've learned a lot more than I did then. I'll say it. 7 years ago, I was kind of battling what I was spiritually because I was in denial about it. I did not want to be that. And I would always fight it. And I would always, and my teacher knows that I was always fighting it. And it took a conversation he and I had, or he was in an island somewhere far, far away, thousands of miles away. And he said to me, you can't fight it anymore because I could feel you telepathically reaching out to me from thousands of miles away. As I'm saying that, Maynard's screaming, so that's hello right there. And that's what I would do in my head is telepathically scream. Or, you know, I was at a war and I was, you know, and then during the pandemic, we talked again and I took things seriously and I said, you know what, I'm ready to accept who I am spiritually, and I am, and ever since then, you know, I've done the work and I've done the study, and but then even with what went on last year, I went into a deep study and a deep sense of self and into self, because it's like, okay, I need to study this. Why did this happen? How do I come at this from a different aspect or a different angle? And it's all about that DNA also, because that runs in my family. You know, my grandmother had a certain talent. Others in my family have a certain talent. You know, it goes all the way back to being 4 years old, and my mother had lost a baby, and I knew, but I didn't know how to say it. And I remember I said to her, what's wrong with you? And she said to me, it was her 30th birthday, I lost the baby, because I could tell something was wrong with her. And she said to me, ever since then, I've always been, she couldn't keep things from me because I could see it. I could feel it. So I've always been a sensitive. And, it does run in the family, and you know, that's always been my perception of how my father really survived the Vietnam War, is because he knew, you know, at the end of the day, what was going to come out of that, as long as he did what, you know, was asked of him, and as long as he followed his path, because we all have a path to follow. I mean, it wasn't like some Forrest Gump stuff, you know, where Forrest Gump basically got lucky, you know, but yeah, so here we are. 7 years doing this show. It's been an interesting ride, as the late Bill Hicks would say. And, you know, I mean, what can I say about without... I don't like to do pausing, because anytime I pause, I hear that little voice in my head say, hey, remember when they said... My train of thought just went, oh yeah, they said to me, when I stop talking, they think the show is over because I pause a lot. And so I don't like pausing because I don't write this down. I'm doing this as I go. It's an impromptu. You know, I used to do really well on impromptus in college because I did really well in speech class because it got me to come out of my shell and give these speeches and look at my audience and engage, you know, because as people, we don't like to do public speaking. I do now, especially when I'm teaching and it's like, okay, let's talk about this. Why do you feel that way about that? And to maintain eye contact, you know, it's a tough thing. So here we are, you know, I'm not maintaining eye contact because I'm doing a podcast. I'm not doing a video podcast, although I do have a YouTube channel that you all can tune into. Let's see. I will give you all the, where is my YouTube handle? Do people even use that word anymore? Dr. Zeus. Yeah, you can find me on YouTube. I'm on there. I'm on there posting pictures of videos of the ocean with 9-inch nails attached to it. And talking about books. Yeah. Oh, I'm so tired. I didn't even work today. You know, they're on spring break, so, but I'm not, because I would rather work, to be honest with you. So here we are. This is 7 years into the show, and because I am very influential in some circles, I will share this with you. And this is a video that I made earlier, but you can hear the audio, and this is what it's all about. So if you can hear it, you can hear it. If you couldn't, you couldn't. Really doesn't matter. At the end of the day, what matters is how that makes me feel. I you know, I was watching the beach and I just meditated on the beach and stared at the ocean and felt it, walked around, drawing in the sand, feeling it. Feeling all this energy that was around me and just pausing for those chances and moments that I needed to pause. So 7 years of doing a podcast, 7 years. I mean, what would Barbara Walters fucking say? Well, I know what she would fucking say. And so this is from my friend Marty, who's part of the late night crew, the LNC, Strombo's LNC. Strombo's been on the show. What's up, George? Remember Marty? Well, I'll say this.
I wanted to do a show about women with distant personalities. It's called The View. I'm Barbara Walters, and this is 2024.
Just think if she was able to say that, but she's not, you know. She just said this is 2020. She did. So, yeah, and then who else? Oh, Jason Almy of Shit Happens When You Party Naked, who is my podcasting brother and is just, you know, when I first started doing these podcasts, I remember we were talking about, you know, a podcast usually has a shelf life of 3 years. And we've both been doing podcasts for 7 years. You know, I've been on his shows, Creatures of the Night, where they talked about conspiracy theories and how someone in my family went to Area 51 and I couldn't say who. And I said, that's classified because I do come from a military family. So, you know, I will say this. If there is a war, and there probably will be another war, I will definitely fight in it. Why? Here's why. At this point in my life, yes, I have everything to lose, including my life. But I do have it in me because spiritually I am a soldier of my spirituality. I've always been a soldier of that spirituality. And I almost became a soldier when I was 18, and that didn't happen because, like I said, had my father not been home, I probably would have joined them. You know, I would have said, hey, I'm out of your hair now, I'm 18, you know, but he overheard and said, no, you're not going with them. I'll get my gun. You're not, you don't want that, man. And then even after 9/11, I considered it and I was talked out of it, you know. But I think, you know, at this point, you know, it would be helpful because, you know, I'd be in charge of 18 20-something-year-olds and be like, okay, guys, bring the tanks around. Come on. And look out for them, you know what I mean? And so I would, you know, to be able to serve in that capacity, you know, and be realistic about it. Because war, you know, Hemingway really romanticized war. And war is not to be romanticized. It's a condition, you know what I mean? And you're going to come back either fucked up or you're not. So, you know, like I said, though, my students had asked me that, the high schoolers, they said, what if there's a war? Would you serve in it? I said, yeah, I would wholeheartedly. If they asked me and said, you know what, at 40-something, you're not too old. Sure, I'll do it. Where do I sign? I will do it. I said, I'm not, you know, tied to anything. And if I come back, if I don't come back, you know, at least I will have done something honorable with my life, you know, whether I have or not. But in that capacity, I would have served my country, because I take that very seriously. Like, whenever we stand for the pledge, I tell the students, do it and remain standing. And they were like, why? And then they go to sit down and I say, I said, because my father and my uncles served this country in Vietnam, and you will respect them. And I also said, my grandfather served this country in World War II in Korea. And my uncle served in, you know, and my friend served in the Middle East during 2003. So I said, they did all this so you can have this freedom. So I take this very seriously. I may not be a military man myself, but I said, I take that very seriously. Now, I do not say under God, because I am of the left-hand path. So I leave that part quiet. They don't notice it. But yeah, now you all notice it. So 7 years of doing a podcast, what have I learned in those 7 years? I've learned a lot about myself. I've learned, you know, to be able to just do something and put it in there and put it in the air and put it in the ether. And for all of you to hear it, and you get to hear all of my squabbles, my fumbles, and my emotions. And, you know, oh, geez. I mean, I was 37 when I started this fucking show. 37. That was an interesting age. A lot of conflict with others, within myself, within my spirituality. And then even that's connected to my own desire and everything, you know, because I used to connect my spirituality to the desire, because it would, you know, it was made me feel naughty. But then at the same time, then I realized, no, it's spirituality. And then, you know, maintaining the two aspects, because, you know, that's out of a sense of fear right there. And I used to have a lot of fear, and I don't anymore. And I mean, you know, here we are. It's an interesting year. It's an interesting time. Learning a lot, doing a lot of shadow work. If you don't know what shadow work is, Google it. For 7 years, I've done this show. I used to do this show every day. I stopped doing that last year because I had other things to do. You know, I was like, I want to go to the gym, and I want to do this, and I want to be able to just go outside and go into nature and not have to worry about a show, not have to worry about watching TV or doing a podcast. And I stopped completely. You know, I just was like, oh, I'll do it when I do it, you know, and I became more interactive in certain aspects. So, you know, here we are, 7 years of a podcast that I started all by myself, you know, came word of mouth, people started to listen. Then I was told by certain family members that I shouldn't be doing the show because of the subject matter that I was talking about. And I was like, you're haters, you know what I mean? And I continued the show, and it's been amazing. I haven't ever been told to stop doing the show, which is great, because I won't stop doing the show unless I want to. It's always been what I've wanted. You know, I always do what I want. I don't do what I don't want or what other people tell me to do, okay? You know, I may need a push in certain aspects. And that's where I want to thank two women. I'll give a shout out, Jessica and Edie, who really pushed me spiritually of recent and put me back together. And, you know, it was a phenomenal thing. And I'm able to talk, and the cadence that I'm able to talk, and able to feel the strength that I'm able to feel. And also the consideration of getting something that I've always wanted to get, but I was too scared to get, and that's tattoos. And trust me, I'm not gonna overcompensate, but I am gonna get one on my neck. And so that means I'll have to cover it up for work, which is fine by me. My friend was like, but you'll have to wear like turtlenecks in the summer. I'll figure something out. There's some stuff that you can put on your skin to cover it up. I'm willing to do that. But yeah, I've already set into motion. I can already foresee it. I can already see where I want everything to look, where I want everything to be. And yes, there will even be that wonderful tattoo that's like in Constantine, but that's not so much for Constantine. That's for other reasons, other spiritual reasons. And then some words, a couple of, you know, lyrics here and there, because I've always wanted them on me for personal reasons, you know, so people can read me, you know, because they already read me in other aspects and other dalliances. So yes, for 7 years, seven magical seven, I've been doing a podcast where I've shared my joys and my sorrows and my fears and my grievances and you know, my different states of being. That's always been interesting, you know, is you're able to share that with people. And I've evolved as a person, which is great, you know? And yeah, I mean, I'm 43 years old. Do I feel it? No. Some people would say yes. No. I mean, yes, I have gray hair and I've dyed it and et cetera, et cetera. And I've done certain things and, you know, yeah, you know, but I don't wake up and feel it. When I first turned 40, I didn't feel it. I was like, what am I supposed to feel? Because I don't feel it. I remember the doctor telling me something, the eye doctor, about my eyes. And when you turn 40, this is going to happen. And I'm like, oh, okay, whatever. And I thought, yeah, you're just saying that. And she was just saying that because I don't feel it. I don't see it. Ha, ha, ha. And also your body falling apart. I don't feel my body's falling apart. You know, I've done some things to it where I want to keep progressing. You know, I think, you know, with people as they get older, they want to stop evolving. I want to keep evolving because I know, you know, it's not done yet. I'm not done with this experiment called life, because it really is a fucking experiment, and I'm a scientist at it, you know. And that goes, hey, takes us back to the beginning of the show when I was talking about science, and I was brought up in a scientific household. You know, we did experiments. You know, I remember my father teaching me about vinegar, and he would show me the different things that you do with vinegar, and then the, you know, the balloons, and you know, even safety issues, you know. And there's a scientific method to things, and energy, and taught me about, you know, when we would take things apart. Because as a little kid, I could take apart a rotary phone. If you don't know what a rotary phone, Google it. I did take apart a rotary phone when I was about 5, because I wanted to see how it worked. I could always do that. I could take certain things apart. My brother could take cars apart as he got older. But with me, I would take apart certain things. And then even like my little pocket TV, I would take it apart and then I'd have to put it back together just to see how it worked, you know. And so when I got older, I could take computers apart because I knew the ins and outs, you know. Oh, okay, you take this out, you want to upgrade your hard drive, you know. And so it was always a scientific method to me. And that was ingrained in me, you know, to be curious about things. And now it's about rocks, you know. I mean, you could say I'm a budding geologist because I know all the properties of the rocks and I know what they mean. And so that's why when I was at the beach, I wanted to take all those rocks with me. And it's like, shit, I needed a fucking bag, you know, and I had tons of shells. And so I was like, okay, I can only bring so much. It's like going to a pet store and you want to take all the animals with you. In fact, I did run into a couple of pet stores just looking at the animals, seeing if I could feel what they're feeling, you know, and hoping that they find really good homes. And so that's what I was doing, is going in there and just saying, okay, you guys, I hope you find some homes, because I live in the country and I'd love to take you all home. Bunch of cats and dogs just running around, you know. Yeah, I mean, we've already got tons of cats. I mean, it's a 10-acre orchard, come on. But, you know, there's always a scientific method to everything. Pavlov's dog, Pavlov's theory. I've known about them since I was little, okay? They ingrained that in me early on. So here I am, 7 years into a show, and I've learned a lot. And, you know, as I analyze my 23 and 23 and my 46 and 2, and as I, you know, grow as a person and tackling all these different subject matters, you know, okay, why do I do the things that I do? Well, for one, I planned my birth. You know, not a lot of people can say that. First of all, I was almost born on Thanksgiving. I still would have been a Sagittarius, but I would have been the first week of the Sagittarius. And then what happened was I was born on my due date. I was born on my due date, December 6th. So I've always been aware that I planned my birth, because if I was born on the due date, that means I arrived on time, you know. I did arrive. I arrived gay, to quote. I did. And then, you know, here we are. I mean, in actuality, and in all honesty, I cannot plan my exit. Some people could. Some would, you know, if I were to say that, some of you would call me selfish. And so, no, I will not plan my exit. My exit really is not up to me. My exit is up to, well, how I live my life and how I take care of myself. And, you know, a part of me, I will say, with that car wreck, I knew I wasn't going to exit, because as I was going through it, you know, I'm really just focusing on, okay, where's the car going to land? You know, people talk about your life flashing before your eyes. My life didn't really flash before my eyes. First of all, I felt like I was in a can being turned because it was fast and it was very violent. And then, all the while I was thinking of someone, okay? I was thinking of, one person. I will say that. I will be very honest and say that. Very raw and honest. And I remember thinking to myself, I don't want to go out like this because I want that to happen. I wanted that to happen. So that was my intent, was to survive. So when I came to, because I really did come to, don't take that the wrong way, audience, because I know how you all are with your dirty minds. I just kind of looked up. The car had landed on its driver's side. I looked up and I realized that's my exit point. I got to climb out and jump off. So, and I had just done interval training earlier. So what do I, and I was ready to go. I was sweaty and everything. So I climbed up and I stood on top of the car, on top of the passenger side, and jumped right off. Because I remember thinking, it's either now or never. That was my stance. It's either now or never. And I did it. And then I remember them saying to me, well, how did you get out of that? And I said, I jumped because I wanted to survive. That was my intent, was to survive. As with this podcast has survived and it's thrived for 7 fucking years. So am I proud of it? It's a podcast. Good night.